Well, with summer right around the corner, I have a summer book recommendation for you. Especially if you're going to the beach or whatnot, this would be just the book for you. It's called Pirate Hunters, okay, by Robert Kurson. Pirate Hunters by Robert Kurson, right up my alley. The subtitle is this: Treasure, Obsession, and the Search for a Legendary Pirate Ship. Guys, if that's not the book for you, I don't know what is. It's fascinating. It's a book about two men. Absolutely true. It's a book about two men and their search to find one of the most significant pirate wrecks of all time called the Golden Fleece. Okay, sunk in 1686 off the Dominican Republic coast, the Golden Fleece was captained by a man more notorious than Blackbeard and more daring than Captain Kidd. His name was Joseph Bannister, an Englishman. And if they could find it, if these two divers and explorers could find it, it would be just the second time ever in history that a pirate ship had been discovered and positively identified. Just the second time in history. If they could find it and identify it, it would be a priceless discovery. Well, the book, among other things, chronicles how they became convinced that it was still there and was still undiscovered, and how they literally risked everything to find it, which they did. An incredible, fascinating tale. It's also a great illustration of the two parables we have before us this morning, where a person discovers something of incredible value and sells everything they have to find it and to gain access to it. With that in mind, please stand for the reading of God's Word. This morning, our scripture reading is Matthew 13, verses 44 through 46. Remember, beloved, these are the very written words of God. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven, it is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Indeed, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands forever, and may he add his blessing to it. You may be seated. Pray with me. Our gracious God and Father, we do thank you for these parables. We thank you of the central message they contain. Father, we thank you for the treasure that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we see him and find him in this text and find him more worthy than anything else. And we just praise you, or pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think in many ways the parables before us, they are a logical extension of the parables that we looked at last week, which emphasized counting the cost of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, that we're literally called to give our lives to the Lord Jesus. So if the emphasis last week was on counting the cost of discipleship, okay, through the tower builder and the warring king, we're called to count the cost in order to be a follower of Jesus Christ. The emphasis here this week is on the value of what we have in getting him. And the value, of course, is immense, even priceless. Look at verses 44 through 46. This is a logical extension, like I said, of the parables of the tower builder and the warring king. So here, he focuses on the following. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. And so obviously in both parables, a man comes across something of great value and is literally willing to sell everything he has in order to acquire it. And he does it for one reason. He finds that treasure or that pearl to be worth it. Okay? Again, Jesus is emphasizing that while it's very costly to follow him, it's worth it because he's worth it. Of course, Jesus is the treasure in the field. Jesus is the pearl of great price. Jesus is the object in view that is worth giving up everything in order to acquire. So the point is straightforward and clear. Trusting in Jesus, hoping in Jesus, giving one's heart and life to Jesus, though costly in the final analysis, is very much worth it. I would say this, it is a tragic thing, a very tragic thing, when in life a person counts the cost and determines that it's not worth it. So remember the parables, the tower builder, the warring king, the point of those parables is to count the cost of following Jesus, both on the front end and over the course of life. Count the cost of following Jesus. Some people do that very thing, many people do that very thing, and conclude in the final analysis that it is not worth it. Of course, people come to that conclusion for a variety of reasons. Okay? For some, they think Jesus isn't worth it because they think that Jesus is just a man, and so why in the world would I give up everything? Why in the world would I give my life to follow a human being? It doesn't make sense. It's not worth it. Too high a cost. Not doing it. That's obvious. For others, Jesus isn't worth it because the perceived benefits of following him don't outweigh the cost. They see the treasure in the field. They see the pearl. It's attractive. It's beautiful. It promises many things. But in the final analysis, the perceived benefits don't outweigh the value. I'm sorry, the perceived cost doesn't outweigh the benefits. I mean, you know, for many, this was me for many years, why would I want to incur the cost of being viewed as a fanatic? You know, why would I want to live such a limited and restricted life? You know, why would I want to deny myself perceived pleasures, okay? Jesus is, you know, his words are attractive. His words are compelling. He seems to be a wonderful man, but in the final analysis, it's too costly. It's not worth it. I don't want to give up these things that I cherish, value, and enjoy, and so I'm not going to do it. I may have some anger. I may have some bitterness, all these kinds of things. I'm not willing to allow Jesus to deal with, meddle with, get involved with. That cost is too high. The perceived benefits don't outweigh the cost. It is just too expensive. I think many people conclude that it's not worth it. It's too costly, again, because the perceived benefits don't outweigh the cost. I don't want to live my life kind of on the fringe. I don't want to live my life perceived as an outcast, one of those religious people. I don't want Jesus meddling in my life. Lots of reasons. You may be in that camp today where you're attracted by the person of Christ. You think some of his claims are compelling. You're considering it, okay? But you just can't bring yourself to trust in him again because you don't want to pay that kind of price of giving those things up. Others conclude, so they see the treasure in the field, they see the pearl of great price, okay? Due to the trials of life, due to the difficulties of life, they deem that treasure or that pearl to be like fool's gold. Like it's inauthentic. It's counterfeit. It doesn't deliver what it promises. I listened to a little online debate the other day that was focusing on why someone left the faith, why someone wasn't a Christian, and this person was very straightforward and honest, and the person said, I think it was one of their family members who had contracted a terrible disease, and they saw their family member kind of languish and face a difficult illness, and they just couldn't square that in their heart and mind with a good and benevolent God. And so this pearl of great price, this treasure in a field, at the end of the day, they viewed to be kind of a fool's gold. You know, it was inauthentic. It was counterfeit. You know what I mean? Because it didn't deliver, didn't provide what they feel like it should. In terms of the psychology of unbelief, okay, many people think that. If you were to talk with a coworker who wasn't a born-again Christian, a family member who isn't a born-again Christian, you know, I encourage you to find out, like, why is it? What is it? What is the, people call it defeaters. What is it? Why is it that they deem this treasure in the field that is Jesus, this pearl of great price, why do they deem it not to be worth paying the price or giving one's life to? Again, the guy in this debate said, I just can't believe that there's a God given the difficulty, the evil, the suffering of our world. So I wish it were true. I'm attracted by the claims of Jesus Christ. They seem to have some merit to them, but I just can't square them with the world in which we live. And so at the end of the day, they conclude, it's not real. It can't be real because of the difficulties that they've experienced, faced, or witnessed. And what a mistake, obviously. What a huge, huge, colossal mistake that is. I read a very interesting article the other day about a find made by a man named George Owen Walton. And George Owen Walton was born on May 15th, 1907 in Rocky Mount, Virginia, okay? And he was an estate appraiser, Mr. Walton was. And in his kind of job as an appraiser, he had first dibs on rare coins, guns, jewelry, stamps, books, and apparently Mr. Walton had built up quite a collection. Very impressive. And one day he had an opportunity to purchase one of only five 1913, one of five existing Liberty Head nickels that came out in 1913. And when he had the opportunity to get one of the five, he jumped on it. He paid $3,750 in 1945 for this special nickel. And he told his family that one day it would be worth a fortune. Okay, well, sadly, Mr. Walton died on his way to a coin show in a car crash in 1962, and appraisers subsequently declared his nickel a fake. Okay, this is a true story. And so they marked it of no value and returned it to a very disappointed family, all right? And the coin stayed hidden in a strong box on the floor of a closet for years, until eventually his nephew inherited it, Ryan Givens. And even though it was dismissed as a counterfeit, something told Mr. Givens, okay, that it had value. And so in 2003, just in Providence, the four other 1913 Liberty Head nickels, they went on display. These other four did, all right? And $1 million prize was offered to anyone who could identify the fifth nickel, okay? The four came up for display. $1 million was offered to anyone who could produce the fifth. Well, Givens submitted his coin for evaluation once more. After hours and hours of comparing and contrasting against the other four nickels, six expert appraisers announced that coin that Givens had inherited was, in fact, the real deal. Absolutely legitimate. Eventually, he sold it for $3.1 million, 100 years after it was originally minted. Imagine all those years it was deemed as worthless and valueless, collecting dust in this strong box for decades and decades. It seemed worthless even to expert eyes, but in fact was worth a great deal. Jesus' point is, don't let this happen to you. Do not conclude that the person of Jesus Christ is anything other than priceless in terms of value and worth. The whole point of this is they are willing to give up everything. The man who finds the treasure in a field. See, in those days, if you found a treasure in the field, you couldn't just lift it out. So he had to buy the field in order to get the treasure. He found this pearl of great price. He sold everything in order to get it. The point is this: the cost is high, but of course it's worth it. And so don't be like the person who felt that it was too costly. I mean, just consider some of the blessings of knowing and being known by Jesus. Just want to consider a few of the blessings, the wonders, the glory, the beauty of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. The value, the priceless value that comes with knowing and being in relationship to the person of Jesus Christ. Yes, costly, but the value is worth more than we could ever describe. What would you say is the first blessing that a person knows in trusting Jesus Christ? What is the first blessing? One of the first blessings that a person knows and experiences when they trust in Jesus Christ is they know for the first time in their life true forgiveness, true reconciliation with God, true peace from a guilty conscience that they know that they have. If you talk to a new believer, one of the first things they will talk about is this existential, this subjective feeling and knowledge of forgiveness, of being washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is priceless. Its value is infinite, to know that you are forgiven. You, a person who has transgressed those Ten Commandments we already confessed innumerable times, you know, have said things and done things that were they be to be made public, no one would ever talk to you again. You know, if you know Jesus Christ, then you know how far short you fall in terms of meeting the standard of God's righteousness. One of the greatest blessings a Christian can know is the blessing of forgiveness, of knowing that my conscience has been cleansed by the person and work through the blood of Jesus Christ. That is a priceless blessing. You know, disciples of Jesus discover that there is meaning and purpose in life. In other words, if you're wondering how this applies to you, friends, don't take this for granted. Don't take this for granted. Don't take the blessings that you know because of Jesus Christ for granted. Not for a moment. You have a cleansed conscience. You are forgiven. You have a worldview. You have a purpose in life. You know where you came from, why you're here, where you're going. You know that God has given you gifts that you are called to use for the extension of His kingdom. Do you understand the significance and the value of having a worldview, a coherent worldview that makes sense, around which everything revolves around the person and work of Jesus Christ? You know, like why you do what you do to bring glory of God? Do you know the alternative to that is hopelessness? No meaning. I mean, it is incredible to know your purpose in life, to glorify and serve God in Jesus Christ, to have a reason to get up every day. That's incredible. You cannot put a price on that. It's priceless. What about the blessing of sanctification? What about what about the blessing of being, as hard as it is, as costly as it is, because you know Jesus Christ, He's changing you. He's growing you. He's maturing you. You really are changing and growing and maturing in your character because of the person and work of Jesus Christ, because you have the Holy Spirit renovating you, changing you, growing you. Can you imagine what a blessing that is? Like John Newton once said to a friend, "I am not all that I should be. I'm not all that I want to be, but thank God I am not what I used to be." You talk about a blessing. You talk about value and knowing Jesus Christ. Every time you're convicted of a sin and broken by it and humbled by it, and you take it to the person and work of Jesus Christ, and you ask Him to grow you and change you, what a privilege, what an honor that we have. What a value that comes with being a disciple of Jesus Christ. The list is so long. Disciples of Jesus, think about the value that we just have in terms of fellowship. In terms of walking side by side with other disciples of Jesus Christ. And not just enjoying friendships, but enjoying true fellowship that is not possible apart from the person of Jesus Christ. So perhaps some of those of you who have come to maybe Christ later in life, you know the difference between a friendship, a worldly friendship, which is a wonderful gift, and fellowship with another brother or sister in Jesus Christ. Just last night, I got a late, not too late, but a later in the evening phone call from a dear minister friend who is going through a very difficult time in his church. And we talked for about an hour. And the sacred privilege of talking to another struggling brother and to encourage him with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To not tell him anything new, but just remind him of what he already knows in terms of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to help carry the water with him, as it were. Okay? To walk side by side through the furnace with this brother. The bond that Christians have with one another because of the person and work of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can't put a value on that. Of the blessings and the value that come with being a follower of Jesus Christ. It's priceless. Forgiveness. Cleansing from a guilty conscience. Okay? Having a worldview, a purpose, meaning to your life, the fact that you're going somewhere. Rich fellowship with other Christians. Unbelievable. And of course, last but not least, is having Jesus Himself. This precious union that you and I share, that you can't even put into words, with the person of Jesus, through whom we have this bond and connection by the power and union of the Holy Spirit. That you have a personal relationship to Jesus Christ. 365 day a year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, access, union, intimacy, fellowship with the person of Jesus Christ. You know, you really can't appreciate it until you don't have it. Incredible. Incredible. Is it worth it to give up all that you have? Is it worth it to give your life to Jesus Christ? Of course it is. Of course it is. I saw a documentary yesterday, a sports documentary, on the 1985 Chicago Bears. I bought it online through Amazon Prime. I had like a rare hour and a half. I could do whatever I wanted to during So I'd heard on the radio earlier in the week somebody commenting about it and how compelling and poignant, moving it was. It's probably the single greatest football team ever assembled. 1985 Chicago Bears. Greatest defense in football history. They did amazing and incredible things. And so it's kind of like the 30-year anniversary from that magical season. And so it's incredible to watch these retrospectives. They interviewed some of the main team members from the team, some of the coaches. So here we are 30 years later. So you have these men who have aged significantly, prematurely, because of, you know, all of the violence and difficulty and hits that you take on the football field. So they asked all the guys at the end. They said, talk about your experience. What was it like to be teammates with these guys, to have this common cause, this common purpose, okay? And what was it like to accomplish it at the end, and what did you learn, and was it worth it? If you watch the video at the end, all the guys, you know, in various states of health, recounted their experience, a couple of whom can't even speak, they're so emotional. And to a man, they said, it was costly, it was difficult, but it was worth it to walk this road with these guys. It was a privilege even. Yes, I'd do it again. I'd do it tomorrow, they all said. If that was true for the 85 Chicago Bears, how much more true should it be of us? Is the cost great of following Jesus Christ? You better believe it. Will it require your life? Absolutely. Is it worth it? All day, every day, to know the love of God in Christ Jesus is priceless. Amen and amen. Our gracious God and Father, we praise you and thank you that you bought for us the treasure in that field. Father, you bought for us the pearl of great price, not with silver or gold, but with the blood of your Son. Father, we know the cost is great. Lord, we count that cost every day. Father, help us to know the surpassing value of knowing and being known by your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us to value Him and our relationship with Him more than all. Help us to love Him more than everyone and everything else. Father, help us more and more for us to believe and know that to follow Him and serve Him is so worth it. We thank you and we praise you and we pray all this in His matchless name. Amen and amen.